This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Georgia, Georgia, the whole day through,
the whole day,
just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.
Georgia on my mind.
I said, Georgia. A song of you,
a song of
come back sweet and clear, is moonlight through the pines. Other arms reach out to me. Smile tenderly, still in the peaceful dreams I see, the road leads back to you. I said, Georgia, oh Georgia, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.
Georgia on my mind.
A little bit of a tribute to Rosalind Carter, who passed away yesterday at the age of 96, our country's oldest first lady. Good morning, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. Kind of a sad day today as we think back on the life of Rosalind Carter. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. Thank you for joining us. It is Monday, November the 20th, and lots going on today. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Chris Edwards of the Cato Institute, and we're going to talk to him about his testimony before the Senate Budget Committee on the effects of the Internal Revenue Service's tax enforcement spending, what they have to spend to enforce their rules. So stay tuned for that. And as we say, Rosalind Carter has passed away, the country's oldest first lady. At the same time, the oldest U.S. president turns 81 today. So we're going to be talking about both events. And what some people call the Argentinian Donald Trump has easily won the presidency of that South American country. Is it a portent of things to come? We're going to take a look, so stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, speaking about Joe Biden being the oldest president, we're going to give you the top 10 youngest U.S. presidents when they took office towards the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. You got to get ready, guys, for the Thanksgiving weekend coming up. What better way than getting your haircut done at the best place in Tampa Bay? Andrew's Master Barbershop, they are open Tuesdays through Saturdays in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. Call first, if you would, for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And we are also sponsored by Arbor Life Tree Service for the best work you can have done if it involves a tree, whether it's tree enhancement, tree removal, stump grinding. If it's a tree, call Arbor Life. They are Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So while we were all thinking about President Jimmy Carter, as he had gone into hospice, former First Lady Rosalind Carter passes away with her family by her side in Plains, Georgia yesterday. She was 96 years old, the oldest first lady. She's lived more years than any other first lady. She was the wife of Jimmy Carter, the 39th president. Here's what Jimmy Carter had to say officially. Rosalind was my equal partner in everything I ever accomplished. She gave me wise guidance and encouragement when I needed it. As long as Rosalind was in the world, I always knew somebody loved and supported me. You know, they were married, my God, before I was born? They were married back in 1946. What a wonderful marriage that was. And I must say, he was not my favorite president, but I always liked Jimmy Carter. I always thought that the guy was sincere. And as we all know, after he finished his presidency, he was working in that Habitat for Humanity. I thought that showed the cut of his jib.
Yeah, I think he was more popular after he left office than when he was in office.
I think so, too.
And for him to say what he said at 99, he sounds a lot better than Joe Biden does today.
Oh, my God.
And he didn't even have to break out into a story.
No, he didn't. He could tell. He could be honest about things. Now, Rosalind is survived not only by Jimmy Carter. They had four children, 11 grandchildren, 14 great-grandchildren. She was born in Plains, Georgia. Did you know that?
Yep.
Where they lived all their lives?
Yep.
She was born in 1927 there, oldest of four children. When she was 13, her father passed away. Her mother became a dressmaker to support the family. So Rosalind worked alongside her mother, taking care of the younger siblings.
At that age, are they still under? Is he still under Secret Service protection?
You know, I think he is.
For the rest of their lives? You know?
I believe he's under Secret Service protection for the rest of his life. Quick story. I met Jimmy Carter on an airplane. I was flying to London for business at the time. It was, by the way, the July before the September of 9/11. He was on the plane, and I guess it was a Secret Service guy, walked him around the aisle up and down to say hello to every passenger on the plane.
Wow.
You know what I remember most about him? He was very, and this was like 2001. Yes, it was, July 2001. He looked very frail even back then. I mean, he looked small. He's not a tall man to begin with.
He's still going, too.
And he's still alive. So speaking about age, Joe Biden today has turned 81. I think he should make a big deal out of it. Don't you?
I'm getting tired of his little his little jogs everywhere he goes. When they say go to that stand over there,
yeah, he'll take two steps.
He does the arm pump.
The arm pump.
Make it look like he's running.
Like he's actually moving fast. So he turns 81 today. The occasion will highlight how age has become his greatest liability. He's been in office for 53 years. God spare us. 53 years. While the White House insists Biden remains healthy enough to serve as commander-in-chief, that's not what recent polls are showing. He's trailing Trump across the key swing states, with voters citing deep concern about his health and acuity. A new poll, Bloomberg News Morning Consult survey, found voters in seven swing states more likely to associate old age with Biden than any other topic. In an open-ended question asking what they had heard about the candidates lately, hundreds of respondents cited Biden's age. Hundreds did. Fewer than a dozen did the same thing for Trump. So I think, what's the word for an angry old man? Do you associate the term angry old man with Joe Biden? I think that fits pretty well. If you dare ask him a question that he doesn't like, he snaps at you. We know what he said to Obama's, was it Obama's press secretary that said he might want to reconsider running again? He called him a four-letter word that starts with pansy and ends with kingmaker, I think, if I remember right. Hey, listen to this real quickly before we go to break. Donald Trump has somebody
Oh, no. You know what? I tell you what. We're going to save this. It's too long a story.
I was going to say, by the way, the first, if and when Donald Trump becomes president again, the first reporter that questions his age is going to get smacked.
He ought to bring Joe Biden along to do the smacking. I think that would be cool.
We've already proved that Jimmy Carter's in a better state than Joe Biden is right now.
Okay. We're going to take our break. When we come back, Chris Edwards, he's a young spring chicken of the Cato Institute. He's going to be here. He's going to talk about his testimony before the Senate Budget Committee on the effects of IRS tax enforcement spending.
Once in your life, you find her. Someone who turns your heart around, and next thing you know, you're closing down the town.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's Monday. Hey, 3 days before Turkey Day. Are you all set? Hope so. We are delighted to have back an old friend of ours, our favorite at the Cato Institute, by the way, Chris Edwards. He is the Kiltz Family Chair in Physical Studies at Cato. He's also, by the way, the editor of Downsizing Magazine. He's our kind of guy. And he has testified on November the 8th at the Senate Budget Committee on IRS enforcement spending. Chris, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me, Paul.
It's always our pleasure. I always learn so much when we talk. And this is interesting, Chris. You go before the Senate Budget Committee to discuss ways to improve the IRS in certain operations, and yet the IRS wants to expand its operation and also increase its number of employees. I hope that you... I hope you were able to pass along the word that maybe that wouldn't be quite the right thing to do.
That's right. The Senate, of course, is controlled by the Democrats, so they wanted a hearing to try to make the argument to increase the IRS budget. As your listeners may know, the Biden administration is planning and has passed into law now a tripling of IRS enforcement spending over the next decade. A tripling. It's remarkable. So, I'm against that. I think the IRS needs better customer service and it needs better computer systems, and I don't mind spending more on that. But I think increasing enforcement would be damaging. And the reason is because the IRS makes a heck of a lot of mistakes. And so there's collateral damage when they go enforcing a very flawed and messy tax code. The collateral damage is all the additional auditing and enforcement they would do on people who have done nothing wrong, who have already paid the correct amount. So that's the problem with more enforcement spending.
Indeed. And, I always have this Machiavellian perspective of the IRS. It doesn't want to get smaller.
It doesn't want to make things less complicated. Why? Because then they have to let people go. They want to keep their phony baloney jobs. And I know you you talk about the fact they need to simplify the tax code, and that is so obviously correct. And as you say, pare back the growing thicket of tax subsidies. Could you explain that a little bit, Chris?
Well, I would actually blame Congress much more than the IRS itself. The IRS has been very mismanaged. They've been partisan. Their technology is decades behind. It's been managed terribly. But the chief cause of the complex tax code is, of course, Congress. And Exhibit A is Biden's implementing now $1 trillion of new energy tax breaks in the tax code. Dozens of new breaks for all kinds of favored types of renewable energy. These are all going to be enormously complex. The IRS is going to have to spend billions of dollars to enforce all these things. And businesses and individuals and criminals will use these. We know from experience that people will exploit these tax breaks and grab a lot more of them than they're legally entitled to. So when the Democrats complain about rich people or businesses cheating on the tax code, it's usually hypocritical because they themselves are in favor pushing all these complex tax breaks that'll increase the cheating.
Yeah, and think of all of the accountants that are employed trying to help, even people like me that generally have very simple stuff, to figure out exactly how you best handle all of it. I've always thought that if we ever did go to something like a flat tax, all of a sudden you wouldn't need all of these people in the IRS, and that's why I say that. I'm not so sure that people in Washington want something as simple as,
It's true, and it would make it a lot harder to cheat if you had a much simpler tax code. Right now, here to put some numbers on this, which I find really astounding. So the IRS, chooses people to audit currently with algorithms, looking at discrepancies in their tax return. The IRS is very sophisticated in who they target to audit people who they think are cheating. But if you look at, say, high-end returns, we have good data on this. 40% of all the high-end returns they audit, there's actually no recommended change in the amount of tax. And then you look at the amount of recommended tax, the changes are not that large. And the reason is because rich people hire expert accounting companies like KPMG and PwC who have reputational risk. They want to get the right number, and they often have smarter folks than the IRS. So here's another interesting statistic. So the IRS, they'll audit people, they'll claim they're not paying enough, and then they'll keep pushing, the taxpayers will push back, the IRS will bring some people to federal, ultimately cases will arrive in federal tax court, and in federal tax court, the IRS wins only half of the time. So even on the cases that the IRS is so sure of themselves that they're going to bring a taxpayer or a business all the way to tax court, they lose half the time. So this is the problem with enforcement, is that the IRS, they often don't know what they're doing, and they make these big mistakes, and it wastes a lot of time and energy.
Yeah, and money as well. Think about all the money that they spend trying to go after these people. Just to have our eyes glaze over a little bit more, you say the Inflation Reduction Act included $79 billion, that's with a B, in mandatory spending, $79 billion in mandatory spending for the IRS over the coming 10 years. The IRA, Inflation Reduction Act, it allocated $45.6 billion for enforcement, $25.3 billion, these are all with B, for operations support, $4.8 billion for business systems modernization. I mean, after a while, you just go, what the hell is going on here, I mean, how...
Right, so the story of those numbers is that it's basically $80 billion in new money for the IRS. The vast majority of that was for enforcement. But that's not, if you look at independent taxpayers, including the IRS's own, it's called a taxpayer advocate, who's supposed to look out for taxpayers, they argue that there, if there's any new spending for the IRS, it should be on better customer service so that at least people can get through on the telephone to figure out how to fill out their tax returns. But that's not where the money has gone. The Democrats have put the vast majority of the money into enforcement. But just about all independent tax experts, don't think that's where we need the money. We need the money on the customer service.
Indeed. We're talking with Chris Edwards. He is our favorite Cato Institute expert. He is the Kilts Family Chair in Physical Studies there. He also finds time to be the editor of Downsizing Magazine. I like the name, by the way, of that magazine very much. So you go there and you sit down with all these other people. I'm sure there are others there that may be touting all of this as a grand and glorious idea. But does anybody listen to you when you're there, Chris? I mean, I'm sure a few Republicans agree with you. Guys like Rand Paul and a few others agree with you that we just, you know, we just seem to be going into the stratosphere. And also, with all of this expense, if you took every single rich person in this country, you know, based on how much we actually spend, and tried to squeeze as much money out of them as possible, I'm not sure it's going to dent much into our national debt.
Well, on the first point, you know, does anyone listen? On this issue, yes, actually, the Republicans very much are doing a good job in pushing back against the increased IRS spending. So I was a Republican witness at this hearing. You know, Cato's nonpartisan, but on this issue, the Republicans are right to push back on this increased IRS spending. The problem with the other side in this debate is that they're throwing out a bunch of false statistics. And I'll give you one that came up at the hearing. One of the Democratic witnesses, and then the Democratic chairman of the committee, they threw out a statistic that the top 1% wealthiest people do 30% of all the income tax cheating. Well, that statistic is accurate. It's true that the top 1% do 30% of the cheating, as far as we can measure. But the top 1% pays 42% of all income taxes.
Yeah.
So they actually tells you that rich people actually cheat relatively less than middle-income people, and that is indeed what the IRS auditing statistics show. So it's a good example of sort of, you know, there's lies, and then there's statistics.
You got to
look at the broader context of these statistics.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. And I always think about, go out, if we, you know, and Democrats tend to use this as, you know, they beat you over the head with it. We need to go after the wealthy. They need to, you know, it's always pay their fair share. That drives, I would like to throw a brick through the television every time I hear somebody say, the rich need to pay their fair share.
And right, they never define what fair share is. And the same people who say that are the same ones that pass these $1 trillion of new energy breaks for corporations, for Silicon Valley people who invest in renewables, and for all these rich people who are, you know, are founding and creating all these renewable energy companies. $1 trillion of tax breaks for these folks. Well, you know that, you know, I'm against the tax breaks because they distort the economy, they're bad for the economy, but it's very hypocritical for people to complain about tax breaks for rich people that when they themselves are doing the break.
Exactly. Now, the Biden administration has been talking about hiring all these so-called new IRS employees, because if we hire more IRS employees, somehow we're going to get more money out of the bad people that are holding back and should be paying their, quote, fair share. That's not going to work. That's not going to do anything. It's not going to solve the issue. It's just going to make, I would think, it's going to make the IRS even a bigger bureaucracy.
Yeah, and again, I think the problem is, look, I have sympathy for the IRS because the tax code's so complex. They have a difficult job.
Right.
Congress makes their job very
True.
Difficult. And so, you know, and I'm sure most IRS auditors want to do the right thing. But you're right. The problem is the tax code is so complicated that even the best IRS auditors, they just make a lot of mistakes and,
sure.
you know, causes collateral damage. And that's the real problem here. And one interesting, you know, factoid about this is that, you know, the left sort of paints this narrative that there's a massive amount of tax cheating going on. But actually, the IRS's own measures show that the tax gap or the amount of cheating hasn't, you know, it's basically been flat for the last couple of decades. And also, there's been international studies that show, actually, Americans are pretty honest on their tax returns. We actually cheat less than the Europeans do on their taxes. So, you know, I think generally Americans are pretty honest. I think most rich people, they hire expert accountants who want to get the numbers right. So I don't think that the tax cheating is as much of a people ought to be honest, they ought to pay the right amount of tax, but I don't think the problem is as big as the left is saying.
I think you're absolutely right. And you know, one other thing, and I'll kind of leave you with this thought, and I think Ronald Reagan kind of showed this, and maybe people like Milton Friedman, the less that you go after people with higher taxes, in the long run, the more the federal government actually takes in. And the reason that that is the case is that people left to their own devices will end up spending more money in the private sector, which means there are more sales taxes and more people are employed when you have people spending money, because when you spend money, you're actually employing people no matter what you're spending the money on, and those people pay taxes. So in the long run, you'll actually get more money, I think. You can correct me if I'm wrong. You'll get more money into the coffers in Washington.
Well, there's no doubt that, I mean, so enforcement does create economic damage. One of the studies I cited in my congressional testimony looks statistically at companies that have been audited. And for companies that have been audited compared to other companies, more of them actually end up going bankrupt. And it's true that, more of them probably would have been cheating, but and cheating is unethical and you shouldn't do it, but if the IRS is going to have tougher enforcement, more small businesses will go out of business, and that's really, that'll reduce hiring, bad for jobs, and it's bad for the economy. So there is a balance there.
Exactly. Chris, always a pleasure. Thank you so very much. Always enjoy talking with you. We always learn something. The best to you. Hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thanks a lot. You too, Paul.
All right. Chris Edwards, Cato Institute. We're going to take our break. When we come back, the Argentinian Donald Trump wins the presidency of that South American country. Is it important to things to come here? We shall take a look.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Here she comes.
Here we are. Thanksgiving weekend. Thank you so very much for being with us and finding time. I'm sure you're busy this week to join us on Freedom Works. And this is something, I wonder if it's important to things to come. There's a guy by the name of Javier, I guess it's pronounced Millei, M-I-L-E-I. He has crushed the left-leaning Argentinian candidate for president, and Javier has become the world's first libertarian president in a major country. Millei has often been compared to Donald Trump, and the two share a disdain for the political establishment, a disdain for the media, and a disdain for socialism. So it was kind of good to hear, you know.
Where is this again?
Argentina.
They got any oil there?
They have a lot of llamas there.
Mm. Oh, I hate those things. Spit in your face.
They'll spit in your face. Oh. They're mean, those llamas. Have you ever ridden a llama?
No.
Oh, I haven't either. With 99% of the votes counted, Millet had about 56% versus 44% for the guy that's the left leaner. His name is Massa. While Massa won the city of Buenos Aires, which tends to be left-leaning, by a little over 1%, Millet won Massa won the province of Buenos Aires. It's like the county. Whereas Millet won the actual city itself and then crushed Massa in the northern provinces of Argentina. So there you go. Anger over rampant inflation, poverty, insecurity, corruption. Hey, does that sound familiar? I think it does. So there you go. All right. We have got our two best buddies and brothers. The Master Barber himself and our Eye in the Northern Sky are joining us on a Monday. Angelo up in Rochester, New York, and our buddy Andrew the Master Barber here in Dunedin. And here's good news, and this is a birthday present to you, Angelo. Donald Trump has opened up a 39-point lead over Ron DeSantis in Florida.
Uh-oh.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
So tell us, you're having a birthday right along Thanksgiving, huh?
Every 7 years. Next year it'll fall right on Thanksgiving.
Will it really?
Yep.
Well, that's great.
Guess what you're having for dinner that night?
The cake and ice cream and turkey.
That sounds good to me. Well, happy birthday. So let me just say to both of you, Donald Trump, now this is a poll that's conducted by the University of North Florida. Trump wins 60% of Republican support in Florida, and Ron DeSantis wins 21%. This is among registered Republicans that were polled by North Florida University. What do you think about that, Andrew?
Well, I told you what was going to happen.
That's pretty good here in Florida. Nikki Haley, by the way, came in third. She got 6%. So 60.
That's even high.
And your buddy Chris Christie, he got 2%.
He eats more than that at the buffet, for crying out
there
loud.
There you go. So
2%.
He doesn't
even get 2% milk.
So what do you think? I just read a story about the Argentinian, the new president of Argentina. He's kind of like South America's Donald Trump. He's a libertarian candidate. And he seemed to win on the issues that Donald Trump runs on.
Well, I would say that it's a future of the things to come around the world. You know, I think people are getting tired with socialism, communism,
exactly.
The whole nine yards.
I think that's exactly it. I really do. I think that countries all over the world are starting to maybe fight back a little bit. Maybe the eyes of some of these people are finally being opened.
Well, remember when Margaret Thatcher and Ronald Reagan won their elections?
Yes.
Around the same time, right? People get fed up with what's going on.
I guess there are cycles, are there not? You know, we get a conservative, what would you call it? A wave of conservatism that sweeps the world. And then all of a sudden we get another wave of, what do you want to call it, liberalism?
Liberalism, yeah. It goes in spurts, I guess, or in cycles.
Yeah. So, this is kind of scary, though, for Ron DeSantis to be so far behind Donald Trump in his own state. What do you think about that, Andrew?
Well, I think Donald Trump is going to rock the house, Paul. It's like I said, people are fed up. The only thing is, like you just said, first you get a wave of conservatives, then you get a wave of liberals. You know, one builds up, the other one takes down. One builds up, the other takes down. In other words, we're going to get nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... Now, it says here in this, again, just kind of going into this a little bit more, and this is the guy that was the director of the university's survey. Despite historically high approval in the polls, DeSantis losing steam in his home state does not bode well for his national campaign. Let's see. It says, even if you wipe out the rest of the slate, on the Republican side, Trump still leads DeSantis by 20 points. Now, this is interesting because if you look at some of these polls against Biden, specifically DeSantis, Trump, and Nikki Haley, Trump is closer overall to Biden, and I think Nikki Haley wins by a wider margin. And again, these are just polls at a certain point in time. But DeSantis and Haley tend to get a higher percentage of the vote if they run against Biden than Trump. Now, that's kind of interesting as well, is it not?
Well, Paul, you know, first of all, look at the polls. These polls are telling you that Ron's got a better shot against Biden and Haley's got a better shot. But these are polls trying to get those people in because they know that they get in, there's a possibility Biden can beat him.
Mm-hmm.
They know that he can't beat Trump. Trump is on too much. Even these polls that are polling this guy at 40% and above. Come on. How can they be polling him at 40% and above when he's got all kinds of high disapproval ratings for everything? It's all baloney.
Yeah, you may be right about that. By the way, Angelo, you know, you almost share a birthday with Joe Biden, I guess, don't you?
Uh-oh.
Joe Biden turned 81 today.
Did he really?
Yes, he did.
I'll be turning 74.
So you're much younger than he is.
He's 75.
He keeps adding a year on you.
He's trying to take a year off his age.
Did you take a year off your age, Angelo?
No, 1949 I was born.
Okay. I got to try to do my math on that. You were born in 1949 and...
74.
That sounds right, 74. Okay.
74.
So Biden's 81, and as Ed said earlier in the show, he tries to do a quick two-step, you know, when he moves towards the microphone. But
it's the Biden shuffle.
All you see is his elbows going up and down a little bit.
Somebody needs to make a music meme to that. A music meme.
As a matter of fact, he looks like a chicken.
The Biden shuffle.
Now that I think about it.
He looks like Lawrence Welk, and we used to go one and the two and the three.
Yes, you're right about that. We ought to give as a birthday gift for Joe Biden. Why don't we get him an accordion?
Oh, no.
By the way, I happen to know something about Andrew. He plays the accordion. Did you know that, Ed?
I was there.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
How many notes does he miss?
Well, I was gonna ask Andrew. Yes, I was gonna ask Andrew if he was making any money on the side. You know, going to birthday parties and weddings and bar mitzvahs. Are you doing that, Andrew?
I go to the Polar Center over here in Clearwater and I play pokus for him on Saturday night.
Oh, good for you! So, what are you gonna do for your birthday, Angelo?
Well, I don't know. I
just survive.
Just survive the stuff going on, you know. Practice my guitar. You know, the kids want to, you know, give me a birthday cake and everything like that.
Of course.
My birthday.
That's great.
And, just survive another year.
Well, that's what we're all trying to do. What day is it that is your birthday? Is it today?
No, it's November 28th. A week from tomorrow.
Oh, we got
next Tuesday.
We got time. I thought it was this week.
I was told my birthday will fall every 7 years.
Ed led me to believe it was just.
I was told that on hold.
Oh, well, that's all right. Hey, listen, that's all right. Well,
I appreciate it so much.
We like wishing people happy birthday. So on a sort of a, I guess more political. Note here. By the way, I got to ask you this. Did you guys see all of the fisticuffs that are going on between Republicans and they're elbowing each other and they're challenging the Teamsters president to a fight? Did you guys see any of that?
I saw that.
Of course,
we're
going to put them on championship wrestling. Are you kidding me or what? We can make some money there.
Exactly right.
Finally, we can tell if they're breathing or not.
I mean,
and I'm just going through the motions.
Michael Johnson, the Speaker of the House, said he had to send everybody home for the weekend early because everybody is on pins and needles.
We need to get one of those instigators in there. You know, the one guy goes, do you hear what he said about you? What did you say about, what do you think about that? Huh? What do you say about that?
That's right.
Get that instigator.
The union guy said, oh, yeah. Well, you get up, you know, like that, like he was.
Well, the union guy was the former Twitter. He was basically challenging the Republican senator to a fight.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
Twitter, huh?
That shows you how smart that guy was. The senator was one of the WWE fighters, yeah. Or something.
Yeah, although
you know what scared
although
me?
Although the other guy claimed he was also a very big guy.
But what scared me was the senator that stood up and started to take his wedding ring off.
Yeah.
That's when you run. That's when the guy's going to take his ring business. Off.
Yeah.
You know there's a beatdown coming down there.
And of all people to stop the fight, Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
The food was just shooting out of his mouth when he was talking.
I want to see Bernie being the referee in the fight. I would pay. I would pay to see that one.
See, you guys are killing me.
If you had health care, socialist health care, this wouldn't have happened. He got broke in your nose.
There's another guy that never had a job in his life.
You
know, we're sitting here talking, but you know what this is really proving? How incompetent our government is.
Yeah.
Think about it.
You know, all these polls and everything. The heck with the 350 days of the left, whatever. I'm ready to vote right now. Let's do it.
Yeah.
That's it. I agree.
What are we going to wait for? And another year for him to get older? No. It's not a wine, for crying out loud.
Here's what will put an end to Joe Biden. We got to have a reporter.
Scare him.
Worm his way to the front of the line and throw a microphone in front of him and say, you just turned 81 years old, Mr. President, and every poll shows that you are losing to everything, including a Republican fire hydrant. What do you have? What do you have to say about that? He'll get so upset, he'll have a stroke.
And that's then you unplug the teleprompter, and that'll do it.
It's all that'll over with. Listen, did you guys see them? They're spoofing him on Saturday Night Live. When that happens, he's done.
Then he is. He's done. Yeah, you're right about that.
Saturday Night Live starts spoofing, because they don't really spoof on the Democrats too often, believe me. But they tore him up.
You got the... The political season really heating up in another month or so.
Yeah,
you know.
Okay,
you'll see these polls really, you know, will really be telling you what's going to happen, kind of.
Okay, so I'm going to ask this again, and I'm going to ask all three of you and myself to answer this question: will Joe Biden be the nominee come November 2024? Angela, will he be the Democratic nominee?
Yes, he will.
He will. Andrew, will he be the Democratic nominee?
No.
No, he will not. Ed, will he be the Democratic nominee?
I think they have something up their sleeve, so I say an absolute no. It's way too quiet right now.
And Angelo, you're going to be the only one, because I agree. I don't think that Biden will be the nominee. I think one way or the other, they're going to ease him out of the spot.
Something convenient will happen, believe it or not.
Well, what do you think
take another fall?
Who do you think the Democratic nominee is going to be?
That could be after cake tonight, for crying out loud. Yeah.
Well, yeah, somebody said, would he take another fall? Yes, and Kamala Harris will be pushing him from behind.
Who do you think is going to be the Democratic nominee, Don?
That's a good question. My guess is it's going to be Governor Newsom of California.
Right. I put money on it.
Yeah.
And Andrew, is that what you're saying?
No question. I've been saying that for how long?
All right. And
I would say Newsom or... Kennedy. I think Kennedy's going to go off on his own.
He's already declared as an independent.
So I think he goes off on his own. I think right now Newsom's in the bullpen.
Okay.
Who's the Republican nominee going to be?
Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I think... There's a chance that Ron DeSantis will be the nominee. I'm still thinking that Ron DeSantis, and the only reason I say that, not because of the popularity of Trump, he's very popular, but I'm wondering if all of these crazy things with all of these different court cases at some point are going to, you know what I mean?
It hasn't yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. We went through, two impeachments that were BS?
That's true. I'm just saying that I think I wouldn't rule out DeSantis. That's all I'm saying.
Well, if Ron does go, I'd be a happy guy with that, too, because I will get to do a once-in-a-lifetime deal. I have a front-row seat at a presidential inauguration. So I think that would be great, too. Either or.
Absolutely. Guys?
I think the people, when you said the polls were down on Ron DeSantis down in Florida, I think a lot of people in Florida don't even want him to leave Florida.
That's true.
You know, I think, when you have a governor like Ron DeSantis, who's done great things for the state, why do you want to lose him to the president?
I think that's true.
I just got to ask a good question. Can we have a president and a vice president from the same state? I would say, what?
Yes, you can.
No.
Yes, you can.
I thought you couldn't.
No. You can have them from the same town.
What does it matter?
Geography has nothing to do with it in our in the Constitution. You can have them from any state.
That's right. Any state they can come from.
Yeah. Yeah.
But well, if there was Trump and Ron DeSantis, that would be the dream team. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not.
Yeah,
I know. That Ron wouldn't take second fiddle, or Trump wouldn't take second fiddle. But you know what? That would be the dream team to get this country back to what it was.
Mm-hmm.
That's the dream team, I think.
Well, my friends, I want to thank you so very much. Got to run. A happy Thanksgiving to both of you.
Thank you
for calling in, and it's always great to be among friends like you guys.
You guys have a great Thanksgiving.
All right. Thanks. All right. There they go. We're going to take a very short break. When we come back, our top 10.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back, and before we get to our top 10, I know we just have a couple of minutes here, but I wanted to ask Ed what happened to our beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They went out to San Francisco yesterday. And
they lost the game, but they did a few things right.
Okay.
They got off the bus. Oh, they got off the plane. Nobody was injured. They got off the bus. Nobody was injured, and they got dressed. Other than that... That was the highlight of yesterday's game.
That's too bad. What was the final score? Do you recall?
A couple of drinks in my fourth quarter. It was 27-14.
All right, fair enough. All right, Ed. It is time. And since this is, you know, a birthday celebration for Joe Biden, I thought, what better thing to make him feel good to announce who were the top 10 youngest presidents? He's the oldest president to hold off. Did you know that? He's the oldest sure. president to hold office. Okay, so we're going to give you the top 10 youngest president. Here we go, number 10. And this is Ed's favorite president, Millard Fillmore. Millard was 50 years and 184 days old when he took office, and Ed remembers it. All right, number nine. James K. Polk, another famous president.
President Polk?
President Polk. He was 49 years and 122 days old.
Now, President Ramaswamy doesn't sound too bad.
Ramaswamy is only about 38 years old.
Swamy's a young dude, you know?
Very young.
He's hip.
Especially compared to everybody else on the dais there. Number eight. And this guy didn't last very long. He got assassinated.
Yeah.
James Garfield.
Mm.
James Garfield was 49 years, 105 days old when he was elected. And a few days later, he was assassinated. Number seven. These are all these presidents you never think much about. Number seven is Franklin Pierce.
Mm.
Good old Franklin Pierce. He was 48 years and 101 days old when he took the oath of office. Number six. This was possibly one of the, maybe not. I was going to say he was one of the heaviest presidents, but I think Taft was heavier. Anyway, number six is Grover Cleveland.
Mm.
Grover Cleveland was 47 years and 351 days old when he took the oath. Number five, Barack Obama. Did you know that?
Good old Barry.
He was 47 years and 169 days old.
Mm.
When he took the oath of, you know, when he took the oath of office, his hair was all dark.
You know, that's happened to every president.
And his hair is as white as snow. I agree with that. Yeah, you're right. Number four, good old Ulysses S. Grant.
Mm.
Yeah, after the Civil War, he took the oath at the age of 46 years, 236 days.
Mm.
Number three, Bill Clinton.
Mm.
Did you know he was third youngest?
Yeah.
You did, huh?
Yep.
46 years, 154 days.
Now he didn't age with the hair because of the presidency. Hillary did that.
Yes. You're right. Number two, John F. Kennedy was second.
Mm.
John F. Kennedy was 43 years and 236 days
you
old.
Know that anniversary is coming up Wednesday.
What's that?
The assassination.
Oh, yeah. In 1963.
Yeah, 50 years.
That's 60 years ago.
60 years
ago. You're right about that. All right, Ed. Do you know who the number one young president was when he took office?
Oh, no.
He used to say, bully.
Bully.
Do you remember who said bully?
At the top of my tongue,
no. Do you not remember the one who rode up San Juan Hill?
No. It's Monday.
That's all right. No problem. It's Teddy Roosevelt.
Teddy.
And you know he took office because of the death.
Right.
Of William McKinley.
Right.
Teddy Roosevelt, 42 years, 322 days old when he took the oath of office. He was not reelected, by the way, after that, although he ran again. So there you go. All right. Thank you so very much. We will be back Wednesday, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. That's the day before Thanksgiving.
And that's the day of the anniversary, and there'll be a special program after yours on Wednesday.
Oh, great. I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. Remember, freedom works.